Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Hi, David.
Hello, Casey.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm great. Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year 2022.
Woo.
So exciting. Hope you guys are happy to have us back.
Yay!
I know we took a bit of a hiatus, but we were both busy. Very busy. Took a bit of a backseat, but we definitely wanted to come back at least for this new movie that we're about to do. But first, we actually did have an episode 20 for you guys already.
A much less exciting episode 20.
Yes, but a very much like, this is a movie that needs to be spoken about that was terrible.
It was really bad.
But it was so terrible that my computer was like, no, I don't want that crap on, like, taking up space on me. So it corrupted the file and couldn't edit it at all, so.
That was probably the right move on your computer's part.
I guess so, but it just still sucks. Just
getting rid of toxic things.
Yeah, I get it. Getting ready for the new year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to do Green Lantern.
Yeah, we were going to do Green Lantern.
So it sucks that we took like the time and energy to do it and it just didn't end up working out. But that's okay.
It's fine.
We're coming back with a much, 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 much better for our very special episode number 20.
Yes.
And that is Spider-Man.
No Way Home.
Yay!
Woo!
I really hope you guys have seen it, and if you have not, please take the time to go and see that movie, because it is definitely worth your time.
I would also say you should probably watch it now, before you're kind of spoiled on anything that happens, because this movie kind of benefits from, like, not knowing what happens. This is definitely one of those movies.
I'm pretty sure you guys have probably been spoiled about it already if you're on social media. Like, it
is... Most likely.
It is all over social media. That's why, like, for big movies, like Marvel movies, I'm always like, I want to watch it.
First weekend, at the very least.
Yes. I was like, I don't want to be spoiled about anything. So we saw it with a couple of our friends Thursday. So, like, the day.
Thursday night, yeah.
Technically, the day before it technically came out. So, yeah. No spoilers for us. Everything was just given to us, and it was just really great.
Yes. It was a fun experience.
Yes. But if you haven't seen it, and you don't want any spoilers, you know, go watch it, then come back.
This is the only time we're ever going to tell you to stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah. We're so excited to talk about it. It is definitely a celebration episode.
Yes.
Of course, there's like a little, you know, disappointments. We find them. But
we do. Like,
yeah.
We might as well start talking at least overall about the movie. I would say when I first kind of left the theater, you heard me. I was really pumped for it. I was giving it a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Over time, and this happens with basically almost every movie, is that I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to, like, consider, like, what did the plot do? What were the characters doing? What was motivating them? What was going on? And why was it happening?
Mm-hmm.
And did that make sense for those characters to be making those decisions? And since then, I've kind of realized just kind of how sloppy this movie was. That's not to say it's not a fun experience. That's not even to say that it's bad. But it is messy.
It does raise some questions.
A lot of
questions. Yes, a lot of questions that, and we'll get to it, but that we very hope and pray that are answered in the next Spider-Man movie, if there is one.
And this is partly when, and this is partly where my cynicism kind of jumps in, because I'm not sure this movie or the future movies are interested in answering these questions.
I really hope they are, because we'll get to it, because it's at the end of the movie.
Sure.
But, like, I need these answered. Whether it's in a movie or the directors want to answer it in an interview, I don't care. I need answers.
That's fine.
So, yeah. So let's just go ahead and jump in. Yeah, David, he gave it a 9.5 at the beginning. I can't remember what I gave it. I'm pretty sure I gave it about the same, 9 to 9.5.
I've kind of dropped to, like, 7.5.
I don't know what I would say. I guess I would maybe just drop like half a point. Just because.
Just half? Wow.
Maybe 1 point. Only because okay. of the ending. And you, we've already talked about this and how I feel about it. But I'll take a point away just because.
Sloppy.
Yeah. But that's okay. Yeah. It's still a really great movie. It's had good. A good time. I saw it twice. Once with friends and another time with my brother. And he definitely did not shed the tears that I did. But that's okay.
That's actually something to think about, is that this movie kind of mostly benefits you. You're not going to get as much out of this movie if you haven't seen previous Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I do mean the old ones.
I have seen every single one, but I truly just don't remember them. And I said that going in. I was like, I know, like, very, like, little bits and pieces from Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, but I just, it's so long ago, I don't remember.
Because when the Tobey movies came out, you were a baby.
I was a child.
You were 12 and 10 or 8 or whatever.
What year did it come out?
The first one came out in the year 2000, and the second one came out in 2002, and then the one came out in 2003 or 4.
Something I was like 6 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I don't think
you're a baby.
Yeah, I probably didn't watch it when it first came out. I probably watched it when I was like 12 or something.
Which is still really young.
Yeah. So my memory is back there. But it's okay. I'll rewatch at some point. I really did want to rewatch every single one, but it's not on like Disney Plus, and I don't think it's I found where I could watch it. So
yeah.
It's okay. It's fine. I still understood the movie. I still understood the characters.
Yeah.
But jumping in the beginning.
The first minutes of the movie kind of open up with like literally the moments just after the very, very end of.
Oh, that is right. Yeah.
Far, Far From Home.
Yes.
Where
Mysterio.
Mysterio drops the bomb that Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Yes.
And Spider-Man rushes home with Mary Jane and, not Mary Jane, MJ in his arms.
Yes.
And Zendaya. And Zendaya, excuse me.
Yeah.
And they get home, and there's drama because his identity is revealed. Then a few weeks pass, he has some legal troubles over, like, whether or not he possibly murdered Mysterio.
Yeah, and then it shows, like, pictures, like, they raid his apartment. It has the Edith sunglasses, and then they bring, like, him and his friends and his aunt and Happy into police questioning. Custody. And it was just... It was a really funny scene with Ned when they were like, oh, you know, you don't know Spider-Man or you want to, he was just like, not included. He just started like giving him stuff and he was like, oh, so basically you were Spider-Man's accomplice. And he was like, can I get my lawyer? That was really fun. And that kind of raised a question for me because they didn't really go over much of those legal troubles anymore in the movie.
They weren't really a detail. Like truly... I'll tell you what those legal troubles were for. Those legal troubles were, I think, almost exclusively so that they could introduce or reintroduce one character back into the MCU. Mm-hmm. My favorite Marvel character, Matt Murdock, Daredevil.
Yes.
Because he just drops in.
It was such a sweet surprise. When I saw it, I was like, and I looked over at David and he was just like, yes. And he did like his little rock star hand...
So metal.
Signals. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I was excited for it, but I knew David was like far more excited.
I haven't been that excited since I was dating somebody. Like, oh,
poor thing.
Yeah, I've not been that excited ever since like, yeah.
It was great. It was a really great surprise, completely unexpected.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people probably haven't seen Daredevil, and if you haven't, I don't know if we've ever suggested it before, but it's definitely something you should watch. It's a great show.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show, period. Like, I love it. I love it, love it, love it so much. It is so, so good. The very first season of Daredevil, I binged it in one day. Nice. Like, I truly did. It was so, so good.
I like Loki did that with Vampire Diaries.
Nice. So... Charlie Cox, Daredevil, kind of dropping back into the MCU was a wonderful surprise. And the fact that they did use the legal troubles that Spider-Man was having to kind of do it, it made perfect sense. It's fine. I'm glad that they didn't really dwell on it too much. They were just like, oh, he has legal troubles. Oh, maybe not because of, you know, Charlie Cox, Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I did like that they hinted at his powers because a brick flies into the room, into the apartment, rather. And Spider-Man kind of lifts his hand to kind of catch it. Mm-hmm. But Daredevil beats him to it, because he catches it first.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to, he's a blind person.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, how did you do that? And Matt Murdock apparently like forgets himself and he's like, I'm a very good lawyer.
Yeah.
And I was like, which is hilarious. It was great. I loved it. Just because, like, there's no good answer to that, to what you just did.
I wonder what other people thought who don't know who Daredevil is and, like, his powers and stuff. So they're probably just like, oh, okay, that's a little funny. But, like, for us, like, we knew about it and we're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. It was definitely a joke and a moment that's meant for people who were aware.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't last long enough, I think, to really interfere with anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. If it had lingered any longer than that, I think I would have like been a bit like, okay, this is not showing restraint.
Yeah, we're only dwelling on it because we're big fans of Daredevil, that's all.
Especially me. I love Daredevil.
Yeah, all yours. That's fine. I'm still a fan, but I know you're like far more. But yeah, that was a really great part. But I guess for me, I was just like, so does that mean, like, you know, is he cleared of not killing Mysterio? Murder charges. Yeah. And it's not the important part of the movie. I was just like,
Well, the Matt Murdock, the lawyer, they asked him and he was like, it looks like your legal troubles are over.
Yeah.
But now you just have to contend with the court of legal opinion,
mm-hmm.
which kind of sets up for like the next scenes in the movie where we kind of see that Peter's struggling to live his life with a public superhero identity.
Yes, and the people that know him, too.
Yes, they are, too. The big kind of, like, issue here is college applications and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that his applications for college, as well as MJ's and Ned's, don't even get considered for
any of their colleges.
For any college choice, any applications, they're just not even considered. It's not an issue of, like, oh, they tried and they're lame and they didn't get in. No, they just weren't even considered. And Peter feels so guilty.
Yes. And I mean, in like the MIT letter, which is the one that they read at the end, like the last one.
That was their first choice. That was like the one they really wanted to get into.
And they're smart kids. Like they can obviously, and if they know themselves too, that they can get in.
It's implied that they like are shoo-ins. Like they should totally get in.
Yeah. And it says in light of like recent events and stuff, and obviously playing to like that they know Peter Parker and like everything that's going on, that they weren't accepted. And of course, Peter felt very guilty, so he's like, what do I do? Halloween had just passed and he saw like a little wizard light and he was like, gives me an idea.
And his idea is to go talk to Dr. Strange about it. And he goes to the Sanctum Sanctorum,
mm-hmm.
and he has a conversation with Dr. Strange, and Wong is like, whatever you think you might do, don't do it, it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Strange is like, ah, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but whatever. Anyway, the spell basically is that
everyone is going to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Right.
And then his big main problem was just like, oh, this is affecting the people that I love. Like, we're not getting into college, blah, blah, blah. So he was like, okay, everyone is going to forget that you are Spider-Man. And he was like,
And this is when I think the problems of the movie kind of start for me, because if this truly was as insanely powerful a spell as it was, I would have thought that like they would have discussed it and had a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And so this movie,
he just jumps in.
They just kind of jump into it, which is fine for pacing, but it's not fine for like what a person would do given the circumstances of like a person who is about to undergo any kind of like serious, like say medical procedure. They'd have a discussion about it. They have a really big conversation about it. They'd be careful planning. And Dr. Strange is a doctor. He knows what this kind of thing is like.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Strange is like, I'll just jump right into it. This world-altering spell.
He has to know that there's obviously close people in his life that know he is Spider-Man. And he just, you know, he didn't ask that question. So they just jump in and then...
And Peter didn't bother to say...
Yeah, hey, he didn't even think about it.
Yeah, and...
Until it's like... And he was like, wait, and everyone? Until
they're in the middle of the spell. And apparently it's a difficult spell, which is fair enough.
And he has to concentrate.
And they mess it up. Or Dr. Strange messes it up because Peter keeps on like...
He was like, Aunt May needs to know. MJ needs to know. Ned needs to know.
And this person needs to know.
Yeah.
This person can't know. And like...
Yeah. And it gets a bit out of control, and then he contains it, and he was like, this is what happens when you're, like, you know, interrupting me and blah, blah, blah. And then...
At that point, that's basically when he said, it's kind of implied, or at least from what I understood from Doctor Strange, I thought what he was saying is that Doctor Strange thought, like, oh, the spell didn't work.
Yeah.
The spell didn't do anything because he didn't finish the spell.
Yeah.
He contained it. So, right. So it's fine. Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then, oopsies, Spider-Man goes to go find the one of the people that's on the board for the MIT applications or whatever. And that's when...
Oh, Doctor Strange was like, you didn't even try and like talk to him before you even like came to me.
You didn't try conventional methods of like fixing your problem.
Yeah. And he was like...
Like a person. Oh, which is another thing too.
Yeah, like, I didn't even think about it. And then... Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember now. And then he was just like, just, you know, get out, whatever. And then he goes to find... Or he finds that one guy that keeps saying that he's his best friend, but he's not his frenemy.
Flash Thompson.
Yeah. And he tells him where the MIT, like, assistant whatever person is there. And he was like, okay. And then he somehow magically is in the right place on the turnpike. And...
Oh my gosh, Alfred Molina, Dr. Octopus, comes out of nowhere and starts attacking.
Yeah, and he was just like, I'll help you, whoever you're looking for. Or he was like, you took my power of the sun or whatever, and he was just like, I'll help you, and then he starts attacking.
That was part of he makes a reference to the plot of Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Which would involve him basically creating a very, very miniature star, basically, a fusion reaction. And he makes a reference to that, and... MCU Peter's like, huh? What's that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a fight. It ends with Peter kind of disabling his arms, his octopus arms or whatever. He ends up rescuing this board member that's on the board to MIT or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I felt it was kind of nice where he was just like, I just want my friends to get in. And then she was just like, no, I'm going to talk to him about you. She was like, you're a hero. And he was like, no, I didn't mean for me. I just want it for my friends. She was like, no, I'm going to talk to him about your friends and you.
That was a nice moment. And then he kept on trying to almost messing it up.
Yeah.
By talking too much.
And then,
which was funny. That was appropriate.
And then the Green Goblin guy shows up.
He shows up and is about to attack, but then Doctor Strange, I guess, portals both Peter and Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
And
something.
His name is Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
His code name is Dr. Octopus.
Okay, yeah. Well, he pulls...
Or Doc Ock, people like to call him, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So they pull him in, and he was just
Doctor
like...
Doctor Strange is like, hey, multiverse shenanigans are afoot, and bad things are happening. So
he's like, people who knew Peter Parker from the other universes are coming in, and yeah, he was like, so we need to catch him. Before, like, they do any damage or, like, mess anything up or whatever.
Yeah.
So he was just like, you need to find them and then...
Bring them here.
Yeah. So
to my special wizard prison.
Yeah. And he gives them, like, a little device and then he goes off.
First he goes to find Sandman. Where they detect some, like, electrical problems going on.
Well, he takes his friend... Yeah, his friend's... come in, and then he goes to, like, some forest, and then that's where Sandman is.
A power station.
Yeah.
And that's where Elektra is, that's where Sandman is, and he teleports both of them into this special prison. I forget how he gets the lizard.
Doctor Strange got the lizard. They didn't show that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And so you had all those people from... Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's...
Spider-Man's...
universe.
Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. And he was basically like, oh, like, we need to send them back.
And Spider-Man's like, you got it. And then they round up the last one, which is Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm. And then his aunt was like, he needs help. Like, you need help. Yeah. He's like, that's not my responsibility, blah, blah, blah. I need to send him back. And then she was like, no, you should help him, blah, blah, blah. So he takes him back, but not as a prisoner. And he was basically, they start figuring out that all of them, Doc Ock was just like, well, it can't be the Green Goblin because he's dead. So he died before him. And he was just, they figure out that all of them were brought back basically right before they were killed by Spider-Man.
That's what it sounds like. I'm a little confused on the logic here, except to say that the basic idea is that if they are sent back, they will die.
Yes.
Or whatever. Because of whatever, however their lives ended up.
Doctor Strange was like, all right, time to send them back. And he was just like, wait, they're about to die. And he was just like, you know, like, that's not our problem.
Doctor Strange is like...
That's what's meant to happen, it'll happen in their universe. And he's not wrong.
He really isn't wrong.
Because even if we don't see Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield have their own movie coming back, them living, good or bad, is going to change things in the universe.
Yeah, it will.
So, like, yes, it's sad that they're going to go back and die, but, like...
That's kind of how it was supposed to be.
Right. And like, technically, in real time, that had already happened.
And let's be clear. These characters, we don't get context for it in this movie. And this is kind of one of the flaws here of the logic of, like, this argument that Doctor Strange and Spider-Man are having, is that the movie frames Spider-Man as being totally in the right, but they don't exactly spend a lot of time justifying Doctor Strange's position here.
Yeah.
Even though, like, truly, listen, these characters, I wish Doctor Strange had, like, said at some point that, like, hey, these people had their shot. They made certain choices, and I guess it led to their deaths.
Yeah.
Or some version of that. He wouldn't have any way of knowing that Green Goblin accidentally impaled himself. He wouldn't be able to know that Doc Ock sacrificed himself to destroy an invention of his own creation that was about to destroy a city. Doctor Strange would not be able to know that. But nonetheless, I wish somebody during this discussion, this very short discussion, would have had some chance to say, like, hey, they had their shot, they lived their lives, and they ended up dead. That's not our problem.
It's true, though.
It is.
And it's sad, but it's also like, if even if you change every single one of them for good and send them right back to the moment where you got them from, like, who's to say that anything else is going to change? Or if it's going to make things worse for someone else, we don't know. Obviously, like, we're most likely not going to know because those movies are done.
Right.
But it's also, like, it just doesn't make sense. I understand Peter's point of view, but, like, I feel like Doctor Strange makes the most sense.
But that's part of the issue here.
Yeah.
They have instead of actually having a discussion, they just kind of have a fight.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because it's a superhero movie, I guess, because they want to have a fight between Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, even though I think Doctor Strange had multiple times chances to actually kill Spider-Man, but he didn't want to, obviously. He just wants to get his box back so he can do his spell.
And he's a kid, and a lot of people, like, you know, I feel, they always talk about, like, oh, I forget that you're a kid. Yeah, they have a fight. Peter's trying to take away the little...
This little device, basically.
Yeah, this little cube that would send them back with the push of the button.
Yeah.
So they're in the... What's the name?
Mirror dimension or whatever.
Yes. I was like, quantum realm? That's not it.
It may as well be. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really matter what exactly it's called.
So they're in the mirror dimension where, like, Dr. Strange's like, I have the power here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they're, like, fighting in there. And then he was just like, wait, this looks like geometry. And then he starts, like, doing his web things. And then he
ties him up.
Yeah. And then he was just like, I'm just going to try and help him. And then you stay here and I'll come get you. Which, in reality, how's he going to get him? Because he doesn't know how to get to the mirror dimension. Anyways. So he leaves him there, all tied up. And then he goes back. And then they're like, okay. And, like, I feel like Peter was so dumb. Like, one, he doesn't know these people. Obviously, two, that they're villains. He's just going to take them out with no restraint other than Doc Ock. And just, like,
He brings them all into his home at once.
Yeah.
Which, like, listen, if you want to help these people, great. You know how...
One by one.
You know how prisons... Yeah, prisons actually do this, too. They have them go into, like, private therapy sessions for counseling and things like this. Mm-hmm. And they take them one at a time. And listen, I'm not a security expert. I'm just a dude here.
It didn't make sense taking all these guys in and just giving them the trust that, yeah, that they're going to be okay.
That they're going to behave, and they're not going to hurt anybody, they're not going to hurt him. And
who's to say they don't want to change, you know?
And he brings them to his house...
Happy's
apartment.
Yeah.
And where Aunt May is also staying, too.
Yes.
And it's like, why would you bring these people?
It's very reckless.
Yes. Reckless is, like, the only word for it.
Yeah.
And like, criminally negligent, I would call it.
Yeah, it would have made sense to take them one by one for sure, or if you really wanted to take them all at the same time, just have them in proper restraints. And he also left the lizard downstairs. So does that mean the lizard, he was just like, okay, he doesn't want to do it. We're just going to let him, stay in the van.
Or, I got a crazy idea. Ask them to tell them what their problems are and leave them in the Doctor Strange's little prison. Because apparently they couldn't escape from that thing.
Right.
So there, just leave them there and being like...
Take it one by one. Or, just come to them.
And be like, hey, what's your problem? And if they even need to bring them anywhere either. It's Or... There are multiple solutions to this. They could have also just been like, hey, Happy, I have all these super criminals. kind of here. We should maybe call, I don't know, Anthony Mackie.
I was like, Iron Man, oh, he's gone.
We can call Bucky. We can call...
The new Cap. We can call...
We can call...
Wanda.
Wanda. We can call...
We can call somebody.
We can call lots of people. Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Almost anybody. Do anything. Something.
One of my favorite memes from, like, this movie coming out was just, like, it basically had, like, what's going on in the world right now, and then the other Marvel characters just, like, sitting back watching, like, ooh, that sucks. Like, they're not doing anything. Funny. They're like, it's not my movie, not my place.
Which is really funny. There are definitely some situations that, like, are not set up correctly, and this is definitely one of those movies where, like, the Avengers should probably have gotten involved, at least a little bit.
I mean... Aren't most of them either in New York or LA anyway?
Yep.
So it's like, someone was there. They could have helped. But like, whatever. Anyways. So he takes him to Happy's apartment. He finds like one of Tony's
machines.
And it also had like a mini arc reactor in it too.
And they start working on solutions to help all these super criminals. Mm-hmm. It's the Lizard, it's Electro, it's Dr. Octopus.
Well, the Lizard was downstairs, though.
But they're in the vicinity.
Okay.
Is that what I mean?
Yeah.
And those are villains. We have Electro, the Lizard, Sandman, Dr. Octopus, and Green Goblin. Those are our five villains that need help. And the first one that they kind of help is Dr. Octopus. They find a new thing to help.
In the back of his neck, that's like...
To help it so that his, like, he keeps his mental state when he has his octopus arms installed.
Mm-hmm.
That way he doesn't lose his mind. And they install it, and it works. And he's like, oh, okay, we can help the other ones too.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, okay. And then he gives Peter back that little piece of his suit that he took.
Yes. Then they start, like, finding solutions of, like, oh, Electro, if you wear this thing for some amount of time, you'll no longer have your powers. You'll be good, man. You'll be set.
Yeah, and I mean, for a guy, again, you don't know him. He has powers. Yep. You don't know who, and obviously he's talked about before how he was like no one, and then he has these powers. So like, in reality, good or a bad guy, would you really want these special powers taken from you?
And that's part of the issue here. Like, there's none of that homework is done, but we have no time for it because it's in a movie, and Then they're about to, like, help Green Goblin and give him some kind of, like, injection that's supposed to, like, completely undo what was done to him.
But Green Goblin was helping him with it, too.
Yes. And
so, basically, Green Goblin is just, like...
Snaps.
Yeah.
He reverts back to his dark personality.
Which begs the question, I was wondering if he was the dark personality while helping Peter anyway, because...
Maybe.
Because eventually they do end up stabbing him with the thing that they made, but it doesn't work. So I thought that, like, maybe he intentionally didn't actually put the actual fix in there, and that's why it didn't work.
I forget the order of events, but that would make sense if that's how it happened.
That's just a guess. Anyways, yeah. He starts making a speech, and he's just like, why should we change, blah, blah, blah.
Electro freaks out, and is like, nah, man, I want... powers. And then he goes up to Tony's machine, he grabs the arc reactor, he installs it on, like, his clothes.
And he takes the other one off.
And he draws power from it, and he flies off.
Mm-hmm.
Sandman...
Goes away.
Sandman, who's supposed to be kind of reformed, he's kind of a reluctant villain anyway, also starts being villainous for some reason. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I think he's just following the crowd.
Yeah, apparently. So he runs off to go do Sandman things. And then...
The Lizard breaks out of the car.
He just leaves.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Dr. Octopus is... He also leaves. But he's not being bad. What we're kind of accusing this movie of kind of being is very messy. Kind of sloppy. A lot of the things that kind of happen don't always make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They serve as good emotional moments, but they don't make a ton of logical sense as far as, like, what these characters want or do. I would say this. In Andrew's movie, he doesn't actually learn that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. He doesn't. So, like, why is he here?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's okay. It's because multiverse shenanigans.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why we're here.
Okay.
And then, anyway, Green Goblin and Peter have a fight, and...
Aunt May takes
a hit.
Yeah, well, eventually she takes it. But she takes the stuff that they made, and then she went downstairs, and then, Peter and Green Goblin are fighting.
The fight goes all the way downstairs.
Yeah.
Basically,
he does do the stab, and then nothing happens, and then he takes off. He hits Aunt May with his...
glider.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, dang, that's a bad hit. And yeah. she seems fine. And he was like, you good? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, 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 I'm good, whatever. And then she starts giving him, like...
She collapses, and then she...
She's giving a speech a little bit, and then she says...
It's a good speech,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah. And then she dies. And yeah. I was like... I was so sad, because that was definitely unexpected, too. I really didn't think that they would kill her off. But she dies, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. What the heck?
I'll say this. The fact that she died does kind of help kind of relieve me of the weirdness that was bringing all these villains at once into the apartment. Just because...
He paid a price.
He paid a price for it. Mm-hmm. His reckless silliness, his dumb move, he paid for it. And Aunt May paid for it.
Yeah.
Specifically.
And obviously yeah. not sending him back the second they yes. should have.
And that was interesting. That was good. This still doesn't mean that our hero's a little dumb. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, that was well put together. Mostly, anyway. And I would also say her speech was solid. I generally liked it. I do kind of wonder if Marissa Tomei is just kind of like done being Aunt May. And that's why they killed her off. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they just wanted to give him that, you know, losing someone arc. Which, maybe. Like, David and I talked about, like, obviously his parents are gone. What happened to his uncle, a.k.a. her ex-husband, or not ex-husband, but her husband from before.
If she was even married, what do we even right. know? Like,
yeah. So, anyways, I thought that he had already had the loss. Like, my impression of the very beginning of Tom Holland's Spider-Man was that...
In Civil War. Like, yeah. I thought that's what they implied.
Yeah, I thought that he had lost, like, Uncle Ben, because mm-hmm. they forego doing the story of, like, when he got bit, and, like...
Because we all knew at that yeah. point.
So they just went ahead, and I think it was like 6 months after that happened, because I think yeah. he mentions that. So I thought that that had happened like it did in the other movies. We just didn't see it because it's already known.
Right.
But I didn't think they would take May away like that. But I do understand the price that was paid, and it makes sense. It was still yeah. sad. It was still really sad.
It was sad. Mm-hmm. Marissa Tomei and Tom Holland are very talented actors. And that was a very good scene.
I was absolutely, like, tearing up. And, like, our friend, shout out Bethany, like, she was sitting next to me. She was tearing out. I was like, you good, man? And That's then, funny. Like, I turned to our other friend, Blake, and I was like, are you crying, Blake? He was like, no.
That's funny.
And I knew David wasn't crying. No. But it was sad, and it was emotional. But, yeah, so that happens. Of course, he runs off because there's, like, cops there and stuff. And then MJ and Ned, they had the little cube device. And they're like, and I haven't heard anything.
They had started having a discussion.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need Peter here. Mm-hmm. And Ned had... I forget how he got Dr. Strange's little portal thingy. I forget how he gets it.
Well, I mean, Peter pulls it off of Dr. Strange so he can't get out.
Oh, right.
And
anyway.
Then he just gives it to Ned, I guess.
So Ned is holding on to it. And this is where we kind of have the crux of all the spoilers and all this. So if you don't want to be spoiled for this movie, please get out now.
But I feel like we spoiled a lot already. So, I mean,
we spoiled a lot already, yeah. But like...
This is the exciting part. This is the part we all were waiting for.
This is the part like... But I'm sure I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure if this is going to happen either. So Ned and MJ are like, we need Peter here. Use your portal thingy and make Peter appear. And mm-hmm. he's like, make Peter Parker appear.
And he finds out that he has, like, he can do, like, the magic that Doctor Strange can.
And a portal appears.
You see Spider-Man.
You see an alleyway. Yeah. And Spider-Man is in the alleyway. Mm-hmm. Full gear.
Yes.
And the Spider-Man sees the portal, runs into and jumps into the portal, jumps to this house.
And you can tell by the suit that it's different.
It's a different Spider-Man suit. It's the amazing suit. The Garfield suit.
Yeah.
And they're like, who are you? And they're like...
He pulls off the mask, and it's Andrew Garfield, the whole, of course.
I was...
Woo! Everyone was so excited.
I was very surprised. I was pleasantly surprised.
I was so excited. I was surprised. I mean, everybody kept talking about, like, are they going to be in this movie? Nobody knew. They definitely kept a tight lid on it.
There were rumors that they were, but I was like, I'm not sure that's true. Yeah. I really didn't believe the rumors.
David had like, he was like, if they bring him in, like, this bad thing's gonna happen. I was like, no, I hope you're wrong. And yeah. he came in, I was like, oh my gosh, so exciting. And then they're like, who are you? And then MJ is just like, he's like, I'm Spider-Man. He's like, no,
he's like, I'm Peter Parker.
Yeah,
and it's like, I'm Peter Parker. And they're like, okay, we gotta do this again. What about Spider-Man?
Well, no, she tells him to, like, prove it. And then he's like,
He does.
Yeah.
He starts using his powers.
It was funny.
Then they're like, what about Spider-Man? They just say, like, hey, bring Spider-Man. And then the portal opens up to a rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some dude on this rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude just kind of walks into this portal.
And it's Tobey Maguire.
It's Tobey Maguire.
He's like, whoa! Oh, yeah. My gosh. It was such a great moment.
And they're like, you're not Spider-Man. And he's like, yeah, I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, conversations ensue. And they kind of get straight that the whole, like, oh my gosh, they're both Peter Parker. And they're both Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Just two different versions of him.
And then they start talking about, like, where would your Peter Parker go? Like, if he was
in a crisis.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, we know. So then they go, they find Peter. And then, of course, like, he's crying. He's like, we got to send him home, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, oh, we want you to meet these people. And then the Spider-Mans come down, and they're like, you know, they're empathizing with him.
They have an excellent scene, I think.
Yes.
This was excellent scene. This was a scene where, like, they empathize, really. They talked about, you know, their losses, too. And
they're not necessarily trying to convince him to make him stay, but he's just like, no, I'm going to send you guys home. Like, he's hurt. He just lost his aunt and all these things because he decided to let these people stay.
He feels responsible.
Yes. And then...
And he kind of is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Tobey Maguire was just like, this is what my Uncle Ben said or whatever. He was just like... They said the exact same words. And
with
then,
great power comes great responsibility,
yeah,
kind of thing.
It was just really great. And
they all just kind of conclude, yes, we have to do something about it. We can't just do nothing.
Yeah.
And then they go into...
The school lab,
and they have lots of little conversations. We kind of catch up to, like...
They start making, like, the antidotes for all these, the villains.
Yeah, they start, like, all the fixes, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And we kind of catch up with... Amazing Spider-Man and with Tobey Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
with Garfield Spider-Man and Maguire Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is still with MJ, with Mary Jane.
And he's older.
He's older. They're like, we had to work some things out, but we worked it out. And Andrew Garfield, I guess, is still by himself and, like, went through a rough period after Gwen's death. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But he's, like, doing all right, it seems like. He's definitely the most science-y Spider-Man, I'd say.
Okay.
He's the only one wearing a lab coat.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole conversations in there was really great.
Yeah.
And then Ned was talking to Tobey, and he was like...
Did you have a best friend?
Yeah. He was like, yeah. And then he was just like...
What happened to him?
And then he was like, he killed me. And
he died in my arms.
Yeah. After he tried to kill me or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Ned was just like... And then he, like, oops, went to Tom Holland, and then he was just like... It was a really funny scene.
It was pretty funny.
It was great. And so then
they come up with their fixes,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, we need to go to a place where we need to draw them somewhere. They draw them basically to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. And he was on, like, the news. That guy, the Daily Bugle, was he from one of the other? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
But he was brought over.
He wasn't teleported from another universe. He's just J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
He's just so
okay.
Amazing at, like, playing J. Jonah Jameson.
I was like, I know.
They were like, no one else could play him, apparently.
Okay.
Which, at this point, I kind of agree. Like, J.K. Simmons is an excellent, excellent actor.
Like, I know he's in the Spider-Man ride at Universal. Well, I was like, I know he's in the other movies, too. I just can't remember.
So they draw all these villains to the Statue of Liberty, which
has a Captain America shield.
It's being rebuilt to have a Captain America shield because Steve Rogers is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And... they have a big fight.
Well, before that, they're having, like, the three Spider-Mans are having, like, really great conversation, too. And they're just talking about, like, their villains. Like, oh, I fought an alien here and in space, and he was purple. And they're what?
That's
and they're
funny.
Just, like, hyping up each other. I just thought it was, like, a really great conversation. Like, they were just, like...
And Andrew's like, I've never fought an alien.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I feel so lame.
Yeah, and they're like, no, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah.
He's Tobey tells him he's amazing.
He's like, thanks, I needed that. And
that's nice.
And then there was, like, this moment, too, where Andrew Garfield was like, I love you guys. And then Tobey and Tom were like, thank you. And it was just, like, them just really bonding and basically, like, they're like brothers, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, it was really cool. But, yeah, then they lure, like, all the
bad guys.
Yeah. And then they start fighting them. They, like, have all their antidotes, and they...
They start using these solutions.
Yeah.
They...
Doc Ock comes, and for a second, it's just like, oh, no, he's not fixed. And then... But then he actually, like, takes...
He starts helping.
Yeah. He takes the little...
arc reactor from Electro.
Yeah. And then...
they make him take the little device thing that undoes his power... Undoes his powers.
Mm-hmm.
They use some device to make Sandman lose his sand powers or something.
And then go back to normal. Same thing with the Lizard Man.
They save him too. And then so the only one left is Green Goblin.
Yeah.
But like, oh my god, he has MJ and he has the little device, the little cube device that Doctor Strange had. And he puts a pumpkin bomb inside this device or whatever and blows up this like magic device that Doctor Strange had.
And then you can see like in the sky, like it's opening up. Reality, like, it's purple. Or yeah.
Things are going bad and like things are falling apart and they're like, oh my god. And
Doctor Strange comes. Oh, Doctor Strange comes and he was about to like do and they're like, wait, no, look, like what Peter was wanting to do is working, blah, blah, blah. And he looks and he's like, well, okay. And then whenever that happens, he's like trying to like hold the world together while they're like still fighting. And then Tom Holland's Peter Parker is just like so upset, wanting to kill Green Goblin for killing Aunt May.
Then Green Goblin is still like putting up a fight.
Yeah.
And he blows up some scaffolding and
he's about to kill him.
He's about to kill MJ for a second there because MJ falls off the scaffolding.
Oh, and that's right. That was a big part of it.
And Andrew Garfield. And
well, Tom Holland's about to get him, and then he gets knocked out. And
Green Goblin grabs him.
Yeah, and then helping. Andrew Garfield sees, and he goes, and
he's like, "I know this. I know this game."
Yeah,
and he like instead of like grabbing her with webbing, he manages to like catch up to her, grab her, and catch himself and land safely. And he's holding MJ, and he starts getting emotional because he's like, "Oh,
he's like, "You're okay?" She's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Are you okay?"
Because he starts tearing up. Because Andrew Garfield is such an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I think he's the best actor out of all three of them.
He's a really great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the better actor.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, like, that the other guys are better Spider-Mans, plural. That's great. Yeah. I think Andrew Garfield's the best actor, though. Mm. Like, he's awesome.
I need a rewatch to, like, make sure. But, like, I know he's a really good actor. I've seen him in other films. But yeah, it was just a callback to when his movie where he failed to save.
He redeemed a mistake, not even a mistake. He redeemed like a failure that he had that he wasn't able to save.
Yeah, Gwen. But
It was very cool.
Yeah,
I liked that a lot.
It was a cool scene. It was very emotional. It was really good. But yeah, then Tom Holland Spider-Man, he's fighting Green Goblin, and then he's about to kill him.
I didn't love that fight. But it was fine.
I thought...
He won. That's fine.
But I like, get it, but I also thought, like... Because he had said, like... They had talked about before, like, yeah, I want to kill him. And he was just like, I felt that way too. Blah, blah, blah. So I thought maybe he wouldn't get to that point. But he did. And...
Toby stops him.
Yeah. Toby, like, gets the thing. And he's just, like... He doesn't say anything, but they're just, like, looking at each other. And he's like,
and
okay.
Then Tom Holland backs down.
Yeah. But then the Green Goblin stabs Tobey Maguire. In that moment, that is what David had talked about. Yeah. And I was like, David cannot be right.
No. Like, this is my dark prediction. This is why I didn't want any other Spider-Man in this movie. I was like, if they bring back Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire for this movie, one or both of those guys are just going to totally bite it. They're going to kill them off.
Yeah. And
because
I was like,
because here's the thing. Too many writers in Hollywood and in general think that, oh, a dark ending or when dark things happen, that automatically means it's good. And I wasn't sure how much restraint they were going to show for that kind of thing. And I'm willing to bet there's a cut of the movie that they filmed that includes Tobey Maguire dying.
I hope not.
I bet there's a cut. Mm-hmm. I bet there's a cut somewhere in like a warehouse or in some file somewhere in the computer where like it shows Tobey Maguire dying. I bet there's a cut of the movie where that happens. He doesn't end up dying.
Yeah. Well, whenever David told me that before we saw the film, I was like, no, David, they're not going to do that. Yep. People would be furious if they killed off one of the others. But even though it doesn't affect our universe, it's still like heart-wrenching.
I'm not sure they'd care though. You see what I mean?
Somebody has to care. Somebody does. Somebody in Hollywood has like a part of heart. But
apparently because he doesn't die.
Yeah.
He just says like, oh, I've been stabbed before. I'm fine.
Yeah. But I was just like, in that moment, I was just like, David can't be right. This can't happen.
All I can think was like, man, I hate being right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is the worst. This is why I don't like being right all the time.
Then you shoot back to Doctor Strange, and he's basically like, I can't hold it. I can't contain it. They're coming through.
Oh, and they gave Green Goblin the real cure, and he's fine. It seems like he's fine. Oh, yeah. But Doctor Strange can't hold reality together.
Yeah, he was like, they're coming through. And then he was just like, if everyone forgot that I was Peter Parker, would it solve the problem? And he was like, yes, but...
That would be bad.
Yeah, I was like, everyone everyone who knows and loves you, which is saying, like, you know, I love you. And I was like, that's that's what I took it as. And
I don't take it as that, but
okay. I do take it as that. The emotion in it, he was just like, everyone that knows and loves you. He loves Peter Parker.
If you say so.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was just like, I know. And he was like, okay, so he's starting the spell where absolutely everyone is going to forget that he is Peter Parker.
And he has some emotional goodbyes with MJ and Ned. Mm-hmm. And they're very nice.
And
I liked it a lot.
And with Spider-Man.
Zendaya and Tom Holland are great. They're very good actors. They have great chemistry, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot.
To be honest, in the first film, I was not a fan of Zendaya's character. But she's gotten better. I love Zendaya. She's a really great actress. But like in Homecoming, I was not a fan of her character for some reason.
She was barely in Homecoming.
I know. But she was meant to like be more eventually. But I was just
of course.
Like,
no, they were building up for something.
Right. He has his, you know, kind of quick goodbye with the Spider-Mans, but it was still really, really nice.
It was nice. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. He gave him a big hug, and then he, of course, said goodbye to MJ, and she was just like, I want you to find me. She was like, even though, you know, I'm not going to remember, I'm going to find out anyway. Like,
yeah.
Find us, whatever. So he takes off.
And
the spell is put out.
And it seems like basically the entire world has forgotten that Peter Parker exists.
Yes. So not only Spider-Man exists, but Peter Parker does not. So
people are aware of Spider-Man, it seems like.
And he goes to a coffee shop where she works, and they got into MIT, and he was going to talk to him, but then he...
Trying to make friends.
Yeah. And then he was just like... In his mind, he was like, never mind. And he doesn't tell them who he is.
He doesn't introduce himself.
No.
He doesn't...
He says he's Peter Parker. But
that,
they
he doesn't really like...
They don't know
he
who he is.
He doesn't make friends with them, basically.
Yeah. And then...
he just leaves.
Yeah. He gets an apartment.
By himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes a new Spider-Man suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess he doesn't have his older ones anymore. For one reason or another. And
get to that.
And this is partly where... This is where the movie just kind of ends. The movie ends with him with his new suit.
Yeah. And you see he has like a GED thing where he's either going to get
high school.
Yeah.
Or he finished his getting a...
Test.
Yeah.
And then he goes out the window. End. And then we have our end credit scenes. Which the first one... I forgot what the first one was.
I don't remember what the first one is either. It was with Venom. Venom makes That's kind of irrelevant.
It is irrelevant, but... And it doesn't make sense, but he's there, like, you know, talking to the bartender, whatever. And then he starts to go away. But a little part of Venom...
The symbiote.
Yeah.
Remains in our universe, or the MCU.
Just a little thing. And it's just like, how is that even possible? But whatever.
It's not possible. It doesn't really make sense.
But I'm going to assume that's going to be brought up at another movie.
I suppose so.
And then the last end credit scene, which really was just a trailer.
It was a trailer, a teaser for Doctor Strange, something like that.
The multiverse film. Which was...
That's exciting.
Yes, exciting because it's also going to include Wanda, too.
Yes.
But overall, I really did love the movie.
I liked it.
There were some sloppy parts. It was definitely the end that really got me because now that no one knows who Peter Parker is, how does he live his life? Yeah, how does he have identification? How does he get his GED test if he doesn't have, like, his past stuff?
How does he get an apartment?
How does he get his apartment? Is he even going to go to MIT? Are MIT going to accept somebody who has a GED with no, like, extracurriculars and a good SAT score? I don't think so. Like, how's he going to live his life, you know? And obviously that's could and hopefully will be answered in, like, the next Spider-Man film, I hope. But, like, how do the Avengers know Spider-Man, but they don't know him? And he still technically has his Tony Stark Spider-Man suit, so why doesn't he use it?
Or he should.
He should have it.
Yeah.
Even if Tony Stark didn't know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man, he still helped Spider-Man. He still was with Spider-Man in Civil War. He would have still... It would still have been the same things, and he still should have gotten the suit.
I have a broader question. How does the entire world forgetting that Peter Parker exists fix the original spell?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Nobody knows. It just kind of does. Which is fine, I guess. The point is not the circumstances of the spell as much as to say that Doctor Strange is creating a spell or performing a spell that will have adverse consequences for Peter Parker, and Peter Parker is willingly accepting those consequences. On that level, it's an interesting moment, and it's very cool. But that's what I mean, it's sloppy. I know what's going on, but I don't know why it's going on. And that's kind of one of the ways that bad movies are bad, is that things happen, is do I know what's going on, and do I know why it's happening? Mm-hmm. And I knew what was going on in that moment. A spell is being performed to undo the damage. But why is it going on? I don't know. And that's usually a good way to kind of judge whether or not a moment in a movie or a scene in a movie is making sense. And that scene is effective character-wise as far as, you know, building some character into Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really make a ton of sense as far as, like, what's going on.
This is mostly where I take the point away. It's messy. It's obviously not explained at the end. And I hope, and even though David says he doesn't think it's going to get explained, I really hope it does, one way or another. Is he going to go to Boston and go to mm-hmm. MIT? Is he going to remain in New York and maybe his friends, like MJ and Ned, going to come back to New York for, like, Christmas break and he's going to run into him and tell him the truth?
Or some other version of things.
So it's like, how does this happen? And can Doctor Strange technically eventually bring back someone's memories if he went to him? I mean, he didn't mention that. I highly doubt it. But it's, I don't know.
I don't know. And that's the thing, is that because we're dealing with magic and multiverse shenanigans, truly almost anything goes. And to the extent that anything goes with magic and multiverse shenanigans, I would applaud the writers for showing a lot of restraint. They could have thrown mm-hmm. in a ton more Spider-Man's, plural.
Miles Spider-Man. Morales.
They could have thrown Gwen. In Miles. They could have thrown in Spider-Gwen. They could have done so many things. It could have gone really wild. And they could have had Andrew and Toby throughout the entire movie. But no, they threw them in in the final act, basically.
Yeah.
And that was the right call. They showed a lot of restraint. They didn't go too crazy. I would also say, though, that I would give a lot of fault to the fact that they're kind of reverting Spider-Man's life almost back to what it was like at the very beginning of the very first Tom Holland Spider-Man movie of Homecoming. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who he is, and he's a poor, struggling student of some kind. Whether high school or college, it doesn't really matter. He's a poor, struggling student, and nobody knows who he is, and he's still Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In a homemade kind of suit. Mm-hmm. And that's fine to the extent that you want to have that, but I don't know, like, I feel like there was a lot more opportunity at the very beginning of the movie. The whole notion of, like, what does Spider-Man do with a public identity is very interesting. It's very cool. And the movie just kind of throws that potential away. And I think that's sad. They're reverting back to something that already works, I guess. They're going back to normal. And normal is kind of cheap. It's a little too easy.
Yeah, I really hope they answer some of our questions and go in some type of route.
If I'm wrong, great.
You know, I hope you're wrong.
That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be wrong.
You are wrong sometimes. It's okay.
No, I'm glad I was wrong that Andrew and Toby didn't die.
Yeah.
I was so happy. Like, once they left safely, I was like, okay, they're gone. Okay, they're safe.
Okay,
they're safe. Fine. Yeah.
We can live.
Yeah.
Overall, like, this movie was definitely full of, like, several really good surprises and, mm-hmm. like, other surprises that were not expected. But, I mean, that's the point of a movie.
Yeah. I was pleased.
Yeah. It was just really good to see. Daredevil was really good to see. Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. It was really good to see all three of them together. And even though they're the same technically person, but they're completely different, too.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. I really liked it. And I thought they did really well with it.
I'm rarely surprised in any movie, but this movie surprised me.
That's good.
And I'm happy that happened. I don't get that a lot. Mm-hmm. I can usually call things out, and I didn't call this, so I'm pleased.
Way to go. You don't know everything.
I don't.
And it's okay, David. It is.
And I'm pleased that I was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to be right about certain things.
Yeah.
I want to be wrong about the fact that, you know, I think that the writers are never going to answer some of these questions, because they aren't important enough to them, I don't think.
Yeah.
But they might.
I am excited and intrigued to see how Spider-Man goes from here and how he's going to show up the next films, whether it be in his next own film or the cameos in someone else's film.
I'm concerned. A lot of the plot elements from this film are borrowed from previous ones. Mm-hmm. The villains are all from the Toby and Andrew movies. They're never coming back. Yeah. Those villains, at least. The whole premise of the movie, Doctor Strange creating a spell, they're never going to do that again. Of like, Doctor Strange is a character from in the in-universe. He's not, like, a Spider-Man character, specifically. Mm-hmm. And what's more is that he doesn't know who Peter Parker is anymore, so I don't know why he would interact with him anymore.
He would interact with Spider-Man.
I suppose so, that's true.
But not Peter Parker.
So a lot of this movie worked on borrowing things from previous world building. It worked on things that were previously set up, and they cashed it all in this movie. Mm-hmm. Anything else that they do moving forward has to be semi-original or things that are being built up again, and they have to show more restraint. They can't do craziness anymore. Probably can't have aliens running around, or at least not Thanos anyway. Yeah. They could have Venom, but that would take some setup.
I'm pretty sure Venom is going to make an appearance or something, because why would they leave the little
I agree, but that's going to take some time to kind of be like, oh, how did people find Venom? Because I get the impression that he's in Los Angeles or something.
I feel like he was in Mexico or something. I thought he was like on a beach. It doesn't matter.
The point is that he's on the other side of the continent, right. Literally.
Yeah.
So how will Spider-Man, who lives in New York, is a native to New York, and stays in New York, how is he going to like...
The neighborhood-friendly Spider-Man.
Yeah. How is he going to like find this alien thing? They can set that up. They can totally achieve that. But yeah. That's going to take setup and build up and... Sometimes that's kind of boring for writers sometimes. It's like doing the build-up to get the payoff. That feels boring, but it's really important work, is building up to something.
They've got work to do.
Yeah, they really do.
But
and I hope they know that, and they really do, and that they're willing to do it.
Yeah. But overall, good movie.
It was good.
Really enjoyed it.
I had a good time.
Yes. Can't wait for the next one, more so because I want to see how they explain things. But
that's funny.
It was still really good. Thank you for listening and hearing us again. You know, David's about to be busy with school again.
Yes, I am.
So who knows when our next episode will be, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. We definitely want to talk about The Witcher at some point. Season 2 came out. We're big fans of that and enjoyed it. So I think we'd like to talk about that too. But if you guys have any suggestions for any new or old bad movies that you'd like us to talk about,
let us know.
Yes, in the...
DM us or comment.
On our Instagram at Script Doctor Podcasts.
Woo!
Give us a follow, a like, a rating, whatever it is. Thank you for listening. We enjoy doing this and talking about movies.
See ya.
Bye.